What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast, Listener Stories.
Listener Stories 27. That is crazy.
How exciting. 27 of these. Amazing.
I know some people love listener stories. Some people don't love them as much, but that's totally fine if that's not your thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen, but we love them because...
We're glad you're here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And I love them, and I think I speak for Andrea too, because it just like makes us feel like we're connected with you guys. Like, I feel like so many of you guys send us messages and we chat with you and stuff, but when you're telling us your stories in the listener stories, it just feels so like... We're besties.
Yeah. Like you're sharing stories with us and then we share stories with you guys. So it's like full circle moment. Kumbaya.
Yes.
All right. Well, all the mushy-gushy stuff aside, let's get started with the first story. And it is from Stephanie. So
Hi, Stephanie.
I'm a huge fan of you both and listen to your podcast to and from my job as a preschool teacher in the boonies of Vermont.
Okay. Shout out to you for being a preschool teacher. I mean, any teacher out there, shout out to you because I could never be a teacher. My little sister's a teacher and I'm just like in awe of how people can do that. But I feel like especially preschool, like dealing, I feel like I only have a 9-month old, but dealing with your own child. I have 1 9-month old, but like, you know, being around your own child all day is a lot. And then to be around other people's children all day.
Right, where you can't like reprimand them as you typically would at home. Not to say like, you know, you beat your kids or anything like that, but you just can't be, you can't personalize the situation.
It's not the same. Yeah.
I worked in a I worked in a daycare. It was like a Montessori style daycare though. So it was like better, quote unquote. But I worked in the 2-year-old room. And let me just tell you, I did not make it a month. I was like,
yeah,
I am not returning to this job. Goodbye.
I'm not doing this. So shout out to teachers, Stephanie, and especially preschool teachers and you, Stephanie.
She said, I listen while I'm at the gym and I even as I clean my house on the weekends, I am hooked and I can't get enough. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
True crime has always been a passion of mine ever since I was in late middle school, early high school, right around the time that the show Bones came on Fox.
I'm
a big Bones fan.
Freaking love Bones. I have watched the whole thing through probably 2 full times. And it's like my husband and I's comfort show, like at the end of a long night. You need to watch it. It
I've
is.
I've like dabbled. And I love
so
David Boreanaz, especially like in his Angel days, if you guys know.
Yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's such a good show. And it's just, I mean, there is some like gore, but it's so obviously fake that it like I could deal with it. And I'm not like a person that likes that type of stuff. But it's just so good. And the character development's so good. And I love it. It's so good. My husband was super into Bones for a while, and then finally I watched it, and now we've watched it 2 times through together, and then it's like our comfort show. So like in the evenings after a long day, we just put it on because we know it. So it's just, you know, like a nice show we can watch together. I freaking love Bones.
That's awesome. I wonder if Matt would watch it with me. He's kind of like not into the cheesy like crime
It kind is of kind of cheesy.
So he probably wouldn't, but maybe I'll just put it
you
on.
You could try it.
You just make him watch it. I'll make him watch it with me.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. Highly recommend.
Awesome. I should have known that I would be a huge fan as both my grandfather and dad were both Vermont State Troopers. And my grandfather was also appointed one of the first 3 detectives for the state back in the 40s.
Wow. Whoa. That's so cool.
Okay, on to my crazy story. My parents met in the 80s and eventually had my sister and I. Sadly, my parents divorced in 2007 and went their separate ways. My mother moved to Arizona and my dad stayed in Vermont. One winter day years later, my dad helped a woman in a snowstorm named Patricia, and eventually they started dating. That is so darn cute, okay?
That is really cute. That's like a Hallmark movie, like... help somebody in a snowstorm and then you end up dating. Love.
Yeah. Patricia, known by her family and friends as Pat, was a beautiful Italian woman born and raised in the Bronx. My dad fell madly in love with her.
Aww.
One day, Pat told my dad a story that flabbergasted him. She told my dad that when she was 18 years old, on a warm July evening in 1976, she was out at a disco club with her friends, Donna and Jody. It was getting late and they decided to head home. Jody dropped Pat off first at her parents' house, as Pat knew she needed to get home because she had work in the morning. Pat later woke up to her dad telling her the police were at the door asking for her around 4 a.m. The police handed Pat her ID and told her she left it in her friend Jody's car. Pat was obviously confused and asked why the police had it. The police said that her two friends, her two friends, Jody and Donna, were murdered just a couple of short hours before. And when securing the scene, they found Pat's ID in the back seat.
Oh my gosh.
How terrible.
Wait, read the next sentence.
Jody and Donna were the first two victims of David Berkowitz, or better known as the son of Sam. Oh my God. If Pat didn't get dropped off when she did, she could have also been a victim. Okay, there's so many levels.
So much to unpack here.
Yeah, because I'm like survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You just lost your two friends. They're murdered by a serial. I mean, oh my God. That is
terrifying.
Wow. Yeah.
And thank God Pat got dropped off when she did.
Yeah.
But that's so heartbreaking that Jody and Donna were murdered.
I know. That is insane. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Sadly, Pat died in July of 2020 after a tragic accident, and my dad is still dealing with a broken heart years later.
Oh, I'm so sorry for his loss.
I'm so sad. I'm so thankful that he had Patricia for the years that he did. Oh my gosh. That is, wow. An amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I have no words. I'm like flabbergasted. Just as you said, a flabbergasting story. I too am flabbergasted. Wow.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, David Berkowitz, also known as the son of Sam, is a serial killer, and he has 6 victims and then 11 like wounded victims, so like attempted murders.
Right.
And he is like a horrific serial killer.
He terrorized those people in New York in the 70s. Yeah. Like they were terrified to leave their homes. Like,
yeah, it was
sick man.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll cover
we should
him.
Put him on our list. Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely should.
Cover some big cases in the future, like near future. So,
yeah. But wow, that's crazy that your dad's girlfriend's. Friends.
She was meant to be with your dad. I like that's a sweet little story. Like she was meant to.
They were meant to be together.
Storm and fall in love.
And I'm glad that they had time together and it wasn't cut short and that she was not a victim.
Yeah.
But wow. Thank you for sharing, Stephanie. That's flabbergasting.
Great word.
Okay, our next story is from Lexi. Hi, y'all. My name is Lexi. Of course, you can use my name. Well, hello, Lexi.
Hi, Lexi.
I have been listening to you lovely ladies for about 2 years now. You have been with me through multiple jobs and multiple moves.
Aww.
That's so cool. I love that. I absolutely love how empathetic you both are and how much respect you give for each case. Your hard work doesn't go unnoticed.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Now let's get to the story. One day in Oregon, after a long day of drinking with his buddies, my father was heading home on his dirt bike. Side note, my husband dirt bikes and loves it. A day of drinking and driving around wasn't new to him. As bad as it is, he did it all the time then. He trusted himself, maybe too much.
Yeah. Everybody's confident when they're drinking and driving.
Yeah. On the long stretch of road, each side engulfed with wide open pastures. About a mile ahead, there was a left-hand turn with one singular tree planted by my dad's father. My father was doing a good 65 miles per hour just cruising down the road. As he was approaching the turn, he misjudged his speed and ended up crashing into the one tree. The impact caused the tree to split in half, leaving my father with a punctured lung, broken collarbone, and too many scratches to count.
Oh my God. He's lucky he didn't die. Oh my God.
He was taken to the hospital and was eventually met with my grandma and my dad's father. The first thing this dumb shithead of a motherfucker my father had to call dad opened his trap to say was along the lines of, "You broke my fucking tree, and by the way, I'm not your father."
What? A terrible timing, asshole. What the fuck?
Like, he was just in this horrific accident, and yeah, fuck, he probably shouldn't have been driving, but like, true, it's true. A tree. Like,
yeah, they're replaceable.
Yeah, human lives are not.
No.
This was a huge shock to my dad, as this guy was the person he called dad since he was a baby. Mm. He had absolutely no idea that this wasn't his father. But don't be worried. My dad's first reaction was, "Thank the Lord."
Aww,
boy, I'm grateful we are not related to that piece of shit. But to make this long story short, to this day, my dad has never met his biological father. He has never even seen a picture of him. All we know is his name was either Ronald Ham or John Ham, something along those lines. Wow. I just feel so bad for my dad. I wish he got to experience a father like he was for me and my sister.
I'm crying. That's so
well, sad. I'm so thankful that he was such a good father to you guys and like,
and that he survived that horrible accident.
Yeah. And the fact that his quote unquote dad just like said that to him in that moment, like, are you kidding me? What an asshole.
Like, you're mad over a tree, dude. Like, even if that's not your son, that's still your wife's child.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, have a little bit of compassion.
Yeah. That you raised from a baby. Like, yeah.
Like, what the hell? Ugh. People are so gross. I just really cannot.
Oh. P.S. Don't drink and drive. Lexi.
Great reminder, Lexi. Don't drink and drive. Especially nowadays. I mean, you know, I don't know when this was exactly, but you can take
there's Uber. There's Lyft. There's taxis. Like, yeah, you can call someone.
A friend.
Yeah. No, don't drink and drive. It's never worth it. And you are always more impaired than you might
think you are. Yeah, definitely. And I hope your dad finds his dad. I mean, that I don't know how old your dad is now, but, you know. That's something that's like a big empty hole. I mean, I don't have a great relationship with my father, and he wasn't around a lot when I was growing up. But I have an awesome stepfather that I get to fill that void with. So
yeah,
I can't imagine like not knowing who my
not
father
having
was.
That yeah. and then not knowing. Yeah, but I'm glad that your dad was a good dad to you and has you guys as family now.
Exactly. All right, this next one is from Robin. Hi, Haley and Andrea. Love listening to your podcast. Who doesn't, right? Well.
Thank you. There are definitely people who don't, but we have a lot of people who love listening, and that makes us so happy. And so thank you for telling us, because it means a lot.
It does. I live in beautiful South Australia near the wine district.
Ooh.
Didn't know there was a wine district in South Australia. I know. We have to go.
I
want to
go
day.
To Australia
like,
so bad.
We have to.
We will.
Bucket list.
Yes.
Your podcasts reach all around the world, including here. I listen to you when I'm driving, doing housework, etc. Makes the jobs more enjoyable and time pass quickly. I love your work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Robin. That means so much.
I know. Okay, my story is not true crime, and I don't think it's paranormal, but maybe it is. I'll let you be the judge.
All right.
It's a comforting story about my mom. Her name is Connie. I feel to do the story justice, I need to give you some background on Connie first so you feel you know her a little bit. She had a tough life, as a lot of women who went through World War II. She was the youngest of three girls and brought up in rural South Australia. Her mother, my grandmother, lived to 100 and a half and was a tough old bird.
Wow.
Mom's sisters also lived a long time till they were 198. So wow. Longevity is in the family. Thank goodness.
And that's like very genetic, and that's
awesome. It really is. It really is. My mom had 10 children, and I am the youngest. Bless your heart. Oh, my goodness. Oh, honestly, though, it's probably the best being the youngest of 10 children because everyone takes care of you.
Yeah, true, true.
She had me when she was 32. Yep, do the math, ladies. She was pregnant a lot of years. But no twins, which is surprising. No twins.
So she had 10 pregnancies.
Oof, that's a lot of pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Oof. My father was not a good husband or father, and I won't talk too much about him other than to say she thankfully left him when I was 10. So yeah, a tough life. But even though this was the case, her overall disposition was always joyful. She loved fun and had a great sense of humor, even through the hard years.
Wow, she was a single mom to 10 children and still was joyful and had fun. Like, yeah. She sounds amazing. Like a badass.
Yeah.
I love Connie.
I can imagine as a child at school, she would have sat at the back and disrupted the class with her joking around. She wasn't famous. She didn't invent anything. She definitely was not rich. And she wasn't a singer or an actor, but she was a loving, wonderful mom. And she liked a nip of brandy. Or port.
I love that.
Yeah. In April 2005, she was 81 years old and still a vibrant and happy lady whom we expected would live to 100 like her own mother. You can imagine our devastation when she was diagnosed with myeloid leukemia. And 38 days later, she slipped peacefully away in her sleep. 38 days?
Oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
So, I mean, I'm glad that she, you know, passed peacefully in her sleep because I know that myeloid leukemia is not, it's not good. Not good stuff, obviously. No cancer is, but wow, that's not a lot. That's not a long time to spend with someone before they pass, but I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
This was on the 5th of the 5th month in 2005. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
She had 10 kids and 23 grandkids, and now there are great-grandchildren and a few great-greats. Aww.
Wow.
She's missed out on a lot, and we still miss her very much. Now to the guts of my story. After she passed away, my sisters and sisters-in-law all went to her house to clean out her personal things, clothes, jewelry, etc. We were dividing them up into what needed to be thrown out, some given to charity, and also what we wanted to keep. It was a very sad but sweet day. We shared a lot of memories and laughs, and we cried a lot. Mom always had handkerchiefs. Yeah.
I was just going to say my grandpa always had handkerchiefs and would always like have them in his pocket.
Yeah.
And when he passed away, like we each got one of his, like he had a pack of like newer ones that he hadn't used.
Yeah.
So we each got one of them to like keep to remember him by.
That's sweet. My papa always used handkerchiefs too. I personally thought it was not, I didn't love it because he would like blow my nose with it too.
I'm not a fan of knowing
that your loved one like used them and had them, and you know, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
My mom always had hankies. She had lots of them, always ironed neatly. She would have one in her bra, her pocket, or purse. In fact, she died with one in her hand.
Oh, wow.
We were in her bedroom going through her things, and there was a stack of iron hankies in her drawer, probably 4 inches high. No one really seemed to want them, so I said I would take them and then promptly forgot about them in the mayhem of what was going on. When I got home, I was putting things away and I couldn't find the hankies anywhere. I couldn't remember what I did with them. A small thing, I know, but this really worried me. I rang my sisters and no one could remember what happened to them. I came to the conclusion that they must have accidentally been put into one of the charity bags. That's so heartbreaking. Even though like no one technically wanted them, just the fact that you were going to take them and now they were gone, like I know that must have been, you know,
That was hard. And like, clearly you didn't want to donate them. That's why you said you were going to take them. And then for them to just not be there, it's like,
Time went on. I thought about the hankies every now and again with disappointment, but soon let the mystery slip from my mind. 4.5 months later, in the middle of the night, I was kind of asleep but kind of awake, and something kept repeating itself in my mind. One of those earworms. Look in the white bag. Look in the white bag. Look in the white bag. It was like when you have a song that you can't get out of your head and you keep singing it. But this was just words. Look in the white bag. Repeating over and over and over again. I would fall asleep and then wake with this going around in my head. Then fall asleep and wake again. Look in the white bag. It was driving me nuts. I had no clue what it meant. At 4 a.m., it had the better of me. It got the better of me. And I wasn't getting any sleep, so I thought I would get up and go find this bloody white bag. When I was searching.
And, like, imagine how many white bags you probably have in your house. Like,
and you're like, don't even know where to start. You're like, is it that white bag? Is it the, like, what white bag? Like, are we talking, like, a grocery white bag? Are we talking, like, a canvas bag?
A backpack? Yeah.
So many options. When I was searching, my mind was frantic with this look in the white bag, and now I'm driving you mad too, I bet.
Yes, I need to know.
I was living in a big house at the time and had shelves dedicated to bags and shoes. Lots of them. Yay! I eventually caught sight of a reasonably sized white bag. I had bought this bag for my mother some years before whilst on holiday in Italy, and she loved it. I obviously brought it home from her house on the day we cleaned up. The minute I saw the bag, I knew it was the one, and I'm still hearing, look in the white bag.
Aww.
I'm sure by now you've guessed what was in the bag. Oh, yes, her hankies were there. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. Like, something was really pulling you to find those hankies, because even though you kind of forgot about it, it was still in your mind.
Yeah, like, clearly something was telling you, like, hey, I know that those are in there and you need to go get them.
Mm-hmm. I obviously put them in there when we were clearing out mom's stuff, but honestly, couldn't remember doing it. Straight away, the earworm stopped, and I was so happy I found the hankies.
That's so crazy that it, like, that was definitely your mom, like, whispering in your ear and not going to let it go until her hankies were found.
Right. Even now, when I think about finding them, I tear up, and even though she annoyed the crap out of me all night telling me to go find them, I felt comforted to know she had visited me. That's so sweet. I would never have found those hankies without her help, because I didn't use the bag. It would have just sat there forever.
Aww.
I know it's just a small thing, but I honestly believe Mom was helping me out. I haven't heard from her again, even though I asked her to tell me the winning lotto number. She hasn't. It's 19 years since she left us. I feel her presence all the time and miss her every day.
Aww, I'm glad that she's still, like, you can still feel her presence and she's still around and that she helped you out to find those hankies.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, ladies. I hope you enjoyed my little story about my mom, Connie. I think you guys are terrific. I love the banter the two of you share, and it's clear you're really good friends. It comes across in the podcast. Keep up the good work. I'm off to have a glass of wine now. Sending love from Oz. That is so – I Robin, love that story so much, Robin. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that was –
thank you for sharing that.
That was such a neat story.
That was heartwarming.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but I'm glad that your mom is still showing her presence and that you had such an incredible mom.
So comforted.
Yeah. Aw, thank you, Robin.
Yeah.
Okay, our last story – for today is from Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather. Here is my creepy story that happened to me many years ago. When I was in my early 20s, I had my CNA license and worked in an assisted living facility. My then husband was a police officer and had recently accepted a night shift position for more money. So I asked to be transferred to work the 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift as well. That's actually so nice that, like, you both work jobs that you could have an overnight shift, because then, like, you can just, like, flip your whole life, like, both of you. And then,
yeah,
you can spend time together.
And you can, like, get stuff done during the day. I don't know. That just always sounded, like, appealing to me. I never had that kind of job.
See, it didn't sound appealing to me because I'm like, then when do you sleep? Like, I feel like I wouldn't ever sleep because I'd be like, oh, I need to be productive during the day.
Wind out. Let me be awake.
Yeah.
And if you have kids, I could never do that. That'd be rough. It'd be hard.
Yeah. The facility I worked in was relatively small and only had around 30 residents, so there were only two of us there after around 9 p.m. As a night shifter, the duties were basically putting folks to bed, checking on them regularly, answering call lights, and cleaning duties. And then around 6 a.m., we would start getting them up and ready for breakfast for the day shift girls. We had this one female resident who always woke up around 5 a.m. to put on her makeup and do her hair.
I love that. That's so cute.
She was a bit of a diva and refused to leave her room until every hair was in place. I can just imagine, like, this little lady, like, doing her hair, making sure it's perfect. Like, oh, that's adorable.
I'm thinking of, like, Blanche. I think that's her name. I don't know. Yes. I'm not a Golden Girls, like, stan. I do like it. I've watched it, obviously, over the years. But yeah. Is it Blanche, the one that always does her hair
so.
And makeup?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's her envisioning. So. Even though she wasn't, yeah. like, old in her years.
Yeah, but yeah, that's yeah. what I'm that kind of thing. That's so yeah. adorable. Mm-hmm. She always wore dresses and signature red lipstick.
Love it.
Every morning she would greet us with a big good morning, warm smile, and a big hug. That was just her thing.
So sweet.
It is important to mention that most assisted living is private pay and can often be very costly. This particular resident didn't have a lot of money compared to many of the other residents. So I feel like she was always trying to make herself appear to be more influential than she was, kind of a keeping up with the Joneses sort of thing.
I hate Aww. That because you're like an elderly person. Like you should be living your best authentic life, you know, and yeah. screw those people and their judgment, even if there wasn't.
And what they want. Yeah. But hopefully yeah. she was happy to do all of that yeah. and be like doing herself up and all
yeah.
of that.
I hope.
Due to the limited amount of money she had, she only had a studio apartment, which was obviously the cheapest. And not only was this just studio apartment, it was the worst apartment in the whole facility. Hmm. We called it the ugly room.
No, Aww. That's so sad. Make it that cuter. Is really sad. What? Like, throw some cute wallpaper up there, somebody.
It was located in a corner and just had a weird layout, and the view was terrible. Mm. So, like, there's not much you can do because yeah. it's like the layout of it.
Yeah.
When you looked out the window, you could only see the brick wall to the other side of the building. So it was like not even a window.
Yeah. Why didn't they put the window somewhere else? I mean, maybe there's rooms on each side and they couldn't.
Yeah, they probably couldn't, but. Oh.
Darn.
The point is, it was just the least desirable room in the whole place. Because of this, the room was super hard to rent. However, this worked in her favor because the director was able to cut her a super good discount, which helped her financially. Oh, and the resident didn't seem to mind. I think she was just happy to be there.
Aw.
And one of the plus sides to an assisted living is they can have pets if they are able to care for them. So oh. she was able to bring her loving cat that she had had for 17 years.
Wow.
The cat was a beautiful, fluffy calico named cat named Maggie Lee.
Oh. So cute.
The cat hated all of us and would try and run out of the room every time the door opened and would claw our faces off if we came within an inch of her. LOL. This cat is like, don't nobody touch me except for my owner. So back to the room. The room sucked. It had a super tiny closet and she had a lot of clothes. It was packed so full the doors would not close. She had this super bulky floor-length black mink coat. Again, this lady was a diva, but this is important to the story. One morning, my partner and I had started our wake-up rounds, and she went down one hall, and I took the other. I was minding my own business, getting my folks up, and Kim, my partner, came hauling ass down the hall, yelling for me to hurry and come here. She was a seasoned aide, and not much freaked her out, so I could tell something wasn't right. I hurried to her and she said something was way wrong with Rosie, not her real name.
No.
I opened her door and quietly called out Rosie's name. Remember, she was always happy in the mornings and you would always find her getting ready for the day. Her lights were off and she was sitting in her armchair. As soon as I stepped into the room, she pointed to the closet and said there was a demon in there.
No.
I froze. Rosie had a look on her face that I have never seen before. Hair all over the place, and her red lipstick was smeared all over her face. Mm. She would not take her eyes off the closet. Her leg was jerking up and down so fast. I quietly said her name and told her there was nothing in the closet and she was safe. She looked at me like I was crazy and again pointed to her closet, saying he was standing right there.
Oh my gosh.
By this time, she was frantic and was getting super loud, yelling. We were trying to calm her down because we didn't want her to wake the other residents. Rosie was pointing at her coat hanging in the front of her closet, by the way. But in her mind, she was seeing a demon. As creepy as that was, we knew that she had a diagnosis of schizophrenia and had been known to hallucinate. Unable to call her to calm her and knowing that she was clearly having a mental episode, we called 911 to transport her to the hospital for evaluation.
That is so heartbreaking.
I know. Once EMS had been called, we also contacted her daughter so that she could meet her at the hospital. Upon evaluation, the hospital felt Rosie needed to go into a Jerry psych to get her on some new medication. Since Rosie was going to be hospitalized for a while, her daughter came to pick up Maggie Lee, the cat, to take care of her. After about a week, the daughter called to tell us that sadly, the cat got really sick while she was taking care of her and it had to be put down.
Oh my gosh.
Rosie was also not responding to the medications and would not be returning as she would need more care than we would be able to provide for her.
Oh, that is so heartbreaking.
Once her family moved her belongings out, that room sat empty for a long, long time. Again, it was just a terrible room and no one wanted it. So fast forward about 3 to 4 years. By this time, I was on day shift, still with my longtime partner, Kim. We worked 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. One evening, we had a super late admission. This little lady was nearing 100 and completely blind. Aww. Also not having a lot of money, the ugly room seemed to be a perfect financial fit. Now, when I say she was blind, I need you to understand she was blind. Mm. So you would have to guide her around her room. Since she was admitted late in the day, I was worried about her acclimating being in an unfamiliar environment.
True.
After dinner, I took her back to her room and helped her to the bathroom and to get into her PJs. I put her in her chair and turned on the news for her to listen to before she was ready to go to sleep. I told her when she was ready, she could push her call button that was like a necklace and someone would come help her. The next morning, I came in and was getting the report from the night girls. I asked how the new lady did with it being her first night there. The girls were super annoyed because apparently the new lady pushed her call button all night long, saying there was a cat in her room.
Oh my.
They told her there was nothing in her room, and the new resident insisted that she could hear a cat meowing and scratching. Kim and I literally about died standing right there. See, the night shift girls were fairly new and didn't know the history of the room, so there was no way they would have known about Maggie Lee. The resident complained about this night after night until they ultimately moved her into a shared room. I love that Maggie Lee was just like still hanging out in that
Where's
room.
Where's my mom?
Oh. Yeah, she's like, this is my space.
My room.
Don't you come in here. Yeah. She was probably like scratching to get somebody to move out.
That woman was blind, so all she was hearing is a cat meowing and scratching in her room. That must have been terrifying.
And she doesn't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Whew. Again, that room sat empty for years, and then I left, so I'm not sure if this has ever been an issue again. I do know that I've never forgotten this, and to this day, it is one of the creepiest things that has ever happened to me. Thank you guys, and keep up the good work. I love listening.
Aww.
Wow. First of all, I definitely think, like, yes, she was probably hallucinating, but I think there was, like, a bad, like, spirit in there.
Something triggering her to even respond to it. Because, I mean,
yeah,
even with, I don't know, it's kind of weird that your medicine would just, like, stop working and then you would just go into, like, I don't know.
Right away go into that. Yeah.
So maybe she really did see something, or maybe it was her mind playing tricks on her because the lights were off, but... That's really sad.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is really sad. And poor Maggie Lee. But I love that Maggie Lee was still hanging out with there, except I obviously feel bad for that new resident.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be curious if Maggie Lee is still there.
I know. Yeah. Give us an update if you can.
If you ever find out,
did anyone else rent that room? And was Maggie Lee harassing anyone?
Yeah. But wow. Thank you, Heather. That is very creepy.
Yeah. These were great.
But a really good story.
Yeah. These were all really great stories this month. Thank you guys for
Yeah. This was fantastic.
It was like a little bit
of thank you guys.
Everything.
It was. It was. This was a good month. And
we always say that, though.
Yeah, true.
But they are. You guys do send in some really awesome stories. And I love that, like Haley said at the beginning of the episode, like we get insight on your lives a little bit and get to know you guys a little bit better, because we obviously can't, you know, foster friendships and relationships with every single one of you, like, individually. But, like, this gives us a little peek into your lives, and we love that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this month's listener story. As always, we will have a brand new listener story for you guys next month. But until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.